I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game You've Heard of, Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Well, Boom Goes the Dynamite!
Thunk Goes the Tomahawk. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce. You just heard him back there a minute ago for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Whew, the dynamite went boom.
Absolutely. In the first week of the NFL season, New England's Tom Brady threw for 517 yards. Panthers rookie quarterback Cam Newton shattered the record for yards in an NFL debut with 422 of them. Drew Brees and Chad Henne both had 400-plus yard games. Any chance we'll see some defense in week two?
There's already some rumbling among NFL old-timers that the rules adjustments have gone too far the other way, and now it's pretty much a pitch-and-catch league. The problem is, of course, all these rules were done for the safety of the players. I don't want to see them rolled back. Sooner or later, the athletes who play defensive back and the coaches who scheme them will find a way to cut this down. But 300 yards in a game is now going to be that's the new normal in the NFL.
See, maybe this will just show how little I know about football, but I assumed that these statistics were because the offenses were ahead of the defenses because of the lockout and the shorter training camps and less time for coaches to work with players and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of pass defenses reacting to situations that happen right in front of you, so I wouldn't put it on the lockout. I just think that, you know, you've got better athletes, you've got more creative offensive coordinators, you've got really good quarterbacks, a number of really good quarterbacks, unlike anything we've seen in the NFL for about 10 or 15 years. And also, you've got changes in the rules that make it harder to hit the quarterback and harder to do things to the receivers prior to their catching the ball. So, yeah, you're going to see numbers like this.
Fans of Broncos backup quarterback Tim Tebow vowed this week to raise $10,000 to buy two downtown billboards urging coach John Fox to bench Kyle Orton in favor of their guy. On Thursday, Tebow said thanks very much, but he would just as soon wait his turn. I wonder if his hesitation to take the field has anything to do with the fact that the Broncos already seem to have lost more key players to injury than any other team.
Well, he did say a nice thing. He said, don't buy the billboards, send the money to my charity, which is a good thing for Tim Tebow to say. Yeah, the Broncos are very much injured, especially on defense. Champ Bailey is in trouble. You got Elvis Dumervil, who couldn't play at all last year because he had torn a muscle in his chest, has now got some sort of shoulder thing going on. So, yeah, they're in trouble, and I think their troubles go way beyond Kyle Orton or Tim Tebow.
University of Oklahoma Regents will meet to discuss that team's possible departure from the Big 12 on Monday. So do we expect the conference to implode by, say, Tuesday?
They're gone. I don't know what they're getting together unless it's to coordinate airplane tickets and schedules and help everybody pack. Help everyone pack to their eventual move to the Pac 308 or whatever it's going to become.
Boise State has been served with a 3-year probation by the NCAA. University President Bob Custras says the program's rapid growth from Division II to a top 25 team was responsible for the violations.
Wait a minute.
I don't mean to laugh. I suppose recruiting restrictions, scholarship reductions, and limitations on practices during spring training will certainly solve that problem,
don't,
right?
First of all, don't go on probation for tennis, okay? That's just silly. All right, unless you're a college in Australia, don't go on probation for tennis.
Mm-hmm.
But President Kustra, that's an interesting argument he's making. He's saying their cheating was so successful, it hampered his ability to find and obey the rules.
Right.
We cheated so well that I was so busy cheating, I couldn't pay attention to the rules. This makes perfectly logical sense to me. Anything in college sports makes sense. That makes sense to me. You can be too busy to cheat to pay attention to the rules. I have no doubt about that.
South Carolina head coach Steve Spurrier said last spring that he would pay his football players $300 apiece out of his own pocket if the NCAA would allow him to do that. This week, he agreed with a group that maintained that those players are actually worth something in excess of $120,000. Would Coach Spurrier's salary cover that?
Oh, I don't think there's any question it would. I think that's boutonniere money for Coach Spurrier.
I'm sure
But
you're
I think
right.
The largest story, of course, is that things are coming to a critical mass in big-time college sports. You had Taylor Branch on earlier. The Atlantic gets read by people like college presidents who might not otherwise see a story like that. The system is going to crash, and something's going to take its place. And if people running college sports are smart, they'll do what they can to control the crash and arrange the aftermath. If not, it's going to come down around their ears.
On Thursday, the Detroit Tigers' winning streak ended at 12 when they lost to the Oakland Athletics. I don't usually root against winning streaks, but this loss seems to me a good thing personal hygiene-wise, don't you think?
Yeah, Jim Leyland changed his underwear finally. He's wearing the same underwear for the winning streak. I'm very happy that the Tigers are doing well and even more happy for Mrs. Leyland, who can now live in the same time zone as her husband.
And also for all the reporters, beat reporters, who have to interview the manager after the game.
In his underwear.
When he's always in his underwear, no matter who he is or what team he's managing. On Tuesday, Red Sox knuckleballer Tim Wakefield, the oldest major leaguer, won his 200th game, and so he's already looking forward to 300, right?
He needed 18 runs to do it. It had been a long slog for Tim. He had his bullpen give him up a couple times when he was doing it. I suspect, although I wouldn't bet on it, that he won't be around for 300.
To be fair, he didn't need all 18 of those runs.
No,
but he
needed
them.
Seven of
right.
them. But.
For the 19th consecutive season, the Pittsburgh Pirates will end the season below 500. But don't worry, things are looking up in Pittsburgh. Wait, have I got that right?
Yeah, they started fast, and they absolutely fell into the abyss after the All-Star break. But they have young players. They finally have an ownership that seems committed to winning baseball and not just putting revenue-sharing money in their pockets. So, yeah, and they do have, by the way, in case anyone asks, the nicest of the new ballparks. And of course, a fan base that's one of the best in Major League Baseball. So yeah, I think there's a little bit of cause for optimism in Pittsburgh.
On Monday night, Novak Djokovic concluded a tennis season during which he won 64 matches and lost only two by winning his third major of the year. That was the U.S. Open. Maureen Connolly, Don Budge, Rod Laver, Margaret Court, and Steffi Graf have each won all four major tournaments in the same year. So maybe they had better years than Mr. Djokovic, but maybe not. What do you say?
Well, it's being argued that it's the greatest tennis season ever. It may well be the greatest tennis season that a male player has ever had. But when you consider that Steffi Graf was ranked number one for almost four consecutive years, I think Novak's still got a ways to go.
Champions League soccer is underway, and this week when Real Madrid played a game in Zagreb, Cristiano Ronaldo was greeted with boos and derisive whistles. How do you like Ronaldo's explanation for the reception he got?
He's too rich and he's too good-looking, mm-hmm. and people hate him. Don't hate him because he's rich and good-looking. Hate him because he's a jackass.
Charlie, the never-ending search for great headlines, conducted by Only a Game producer Karen Given, has finally borne fruit. An international collection of acrobatic athletes gathered in Seoul, engaged in a competition involving a tightrope stretched across a river, and so, according to the Washington Post,
Skywalkers in Korea cross Han Solo. And do you know what kept them going? Hope Solo.
Oh, absolutely.
And sure. Can I just say that my ancestral home, Kerry, will be playing Dublin for the All-Ireland Football Championship on Sunday at Croke Park. Up the kingdom, my friends. The cup is coming home to where it belongs.
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, among other books. He joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Use the force, Bill.